All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, and we are in some turmoil right now in Buckland. And I long for the days of just, 48 hours ago, when ping pong tables in the locker room were our biggest problem. But now we know better, and there's some news, of course, that you've all known by now. If you're listening to this show, you probably have been following the Bucks story this week. Jason Pierre-Paul has his issues with a possible vertebra in his neck fractured and could be, and we don't know this yet, so let's not get carried away, but could be out for the Bucks for an extended period of time up to and possibly including all of the 2019 season. But don't worry about that right now. We're going to hash it all out on the show today. Thank you for joining us. The Free Stretch is brought to you, as always, by Bill Curry Ford. They are Tampa's first family of Ford, and as always, you get the nationwide lifetime warranty going right now. If you go and look at and buy any, and I mean any of their new or pre-owned vehicles, and that includes unlimited years, unlimited miles, you get 10 years of roadside assistance, and you get 1 year of complimentary service. You bring it right in there. They'll do the oil change, take care of everything for you for the first year. Again, on any car that they have, new or pre-owned. If you want to check out the inventory, they've got a great website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can see everything they have there. And if you go see Sean Sullivan, the general manager over there, and you mention me, you mention the Free Stretch, or just mention Joe Bucks Fan, you get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing and the new lifetime warranty. They've been serving this area for nearly 60 years now, which is longer than most of us have been in this area. And in my case, it's much longer than I've been alive. But either way, you know you can trust them. Go see them a mile north on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsboro on the east side of the road, or go to the website BillCurryFord.com. Now, unfortunately, with football players, you don't get a lifetime warranty. You don't get a year of complimentary service or anything like that. And when one of them fractures his neck, you may just be without him for a while. And so last week on the show, because the accident took place in the early morning hours of May 2nd. That was a week ago. And on the show, I remember this last week just in passing saying, oh yeah, Jason Pierre-Paul, single car accident. There's reports he went to the hospital, has been released, he's fine, no big deal. I think I said something to that effect because that was the report. It was all over Twitter, not major news, but it was all over Twitter. Oh yeah, Jason Pierre-Paul, he did have an accident, he's fine, don't worry. He went to the hospital as a precautionary measure and then he was released shortly thereafter. No big deal, you're good. And oh yeah, he might have fractured a vertebra in his neck, but you know, it's only going to miss the 2019 season, may have played his last down as a Buck, whatever! So they kind of threw that part in there a couple days later, right? Kind of got us a little bit, made us think that everything was okay. And the first thing I want to say, of course, is I'm glad Jason Pierre-Paul is all right. I mean, this is not something by all reports, the police report itself, and accounts and everything else, nothing to do with alcohol, nothing to do with reckless driving or anything like that. I'm just going by the reports. We don't know, but there's no reason to say, hey, JPP did something to put himself in a bad position and another poor judgment example. No, none of that, okay? It was an accident. He's going on the interstate on a wet road. Apparently, the car either hydroplaned or just plain skidded, got turned around. And even though, you know, the guardrail was on the left side as he's traveling down the road, the car flipped and the other side hit the side wall there and then came to rest on the road. It was very late at night. It was like 2-something in the morning. And luckily nothing else happened. No other oncoming cars got involved or anything like that. And everything was fine. But my point is, the first thing, this isn't something where I'm trying to get mad at JPP for having done something he shouldn't have done. None of us should be doing that. He's, just an unfortunate victim here of something, it looks like, that may probably could have been prevented, but also wasn't an act of carelessness or anything like that. So with that said, everybody around now, it's all doom and gloom this past week. Oh my God, what are the Bucks going to do? Can we get out of his contract? We're screwed for 2019. I can't believe this. The whole Gerald McCoy thing, can we take him back? Can we kiss and make up with him? It's a disaster. As we always do on this show, let's take a deep breath and look at this analytically and figure out, just like I always tell y'all, Garmin, right? I always make that like my personal motto. What do you do when you take a wrong turn, when Garmin has the path all plotted out for you and you take a wrong turn and you completely blow the directions that they've just given you? It takes a couple seconds, that little circle thing starts spinning around and it says redirecting, and then in a couple seconds, boom, it gives you a new path from wherever you are now, and that's your most direct path to where you want to get to. So that you got, in life, this is with everybody, sports, career, whatever. Don't dwell on bad things, okay? Be like Garmin. Immediately recalculate from where you are now. Don't worry about how it happened or how it could have been different. Doesn't matter. You can't change that. Where you are now, what's the best path to where you want to be? So what can the Bucks do here? Well, the contract language, even by the people who cover the team incredibly well, like guys like Rick Stroud, guys like Greg Allman, who have done a great job if you follow their Twitter feeds. Of course, Joe, you know, Joe Bucks fan. Everything, but if you like, I was looking at Greg Allman's Twitter feed, and he's got diagrams, he's got crash reports, everything, like literally everything. And you don't really even need to know all this stuff, but everything you could possibly have wanted to know about JPP's accident is on his Twitter feed. Excellent reporting, and Rick Stroud too. But even those guys don't have exactly what the contract language is and what it means. It's possible that the Buccaneers could get out of this partially by putting JPP on the non-football injury list or waiving him altogether. $7.5 million of his $14.9 million that he is due in 2019 is already guaranteed. That deadline has come and gone. But the other part, the other $7.4 million, could be recouped either actually financially for the Bucks, which people like you and me don't care about as much, or under the cap. That's the part we care about. I don't care about what money they got to pay. How much cap room can they clear and can they get out of by this? And $7.4 million is possible. Not saying that they can do that. No one's quite sure, to be honest. And we don't even know. I mean, he could go to a specialist and end up, it's not as bad as we thought, you know? So we don't know that part either. Maybe he's still playing. I'd brace myself for the idea that, yeah, he's not going to play in 2019. So don't be caught off guard if that report comes down sometime in the next week, 2 weeks, or whenever it is he gets seen by somebody. But all these things are in play, is my point. So what can the Bucks do? First of all, let's get one thing straight. Because there's a lot of woulda, shoulda, coulda already coming from my friends. I got text messages. Bet you wish we drafted Josh Allen now, Bobby. I heard your show last week. You were all about Devin White. Bet you wish we'd gone with the edge guy now. If we'd known this, I'll bet we would have. You know what? You can't think like that. So here's my thing with the draft. I'm talking about the draft again real quick, even though we did all that stuff before, because this is an important philosophy. You're not drafting Devin White for this year. Think ahead to 5 years from now. Devin White versus Josh Allen. I have no idea which one of them will be better. Nobody does. But if the Bucks had Devin White graded higher than Josh Allen, it wouldn't matter if JPP was hurt or not, or if they had known this in advance or not, because 5 years from now, okay, the situation with JPP, it will have no bearing on the Bucks franchise. It does certainly in 2019, absolutely. But you're never drafting, especially a first-round pick, where you're looking for a career guy, a 5-10-year guy. And so, no, I'm not thinking, oh, man, I wish this JPP news had broken sooner or that the actual accident had happened sooner, so that we could have drafted Josh Allen knowing what we know now. No, I mean, if you wanted Josh Allen because you think he's going to be better than Devin White, that's a perfectly valid opinion. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're thinking, oh man, should have gotten him knowing this, it would have made a big... No, it doesn't matter. I don't care about JPP's injury compared to who we drafted. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years from now, irrelevant with JPP. If they thought Devin White was better, then that's who they should have taken. And knowing what they know now, damn it, still should have taken him. And again, if you think that they should have taken Josh Allen just because they should have taken Josh Allen, fine, that's totally fine. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Neither of us knows. But you got to untie these things. And the same thing with the Gerald McCoy situation. We haven't even gotten to that yet. We got him posting videos, you know, real indignant. I thought it was a little childish, but whatever. He's posting videos. I'm working out and you're questioning me. You need to see what I'm doing over here. You know, he's clearly pissed off, has a huge chip on his shoulder, and doesn't look like he's coming back to the Bucks. And now that this JPP thing has happened, it's like, and they don't play the same position, but it's still people up front, so it's kind of a general need. And people are saying, oh, well, now we got to figure out a way to get McCoy back in our good graces. We got to figure out a way to clear this cap space. You know, he's got, you know, $13 million. We got to figure something out. But, well, they do have to figure something out, yes. But the Gerald McCoy thing and the JPP thing, I know they seem like they're tied together, but I don't think they can have anything to do together. I think if you're trying to run an organization the right way, you know, the Bucks need to decide, or probably may have already decided, but whatever the time frame is, the Bucks need to decide if they think Gerald McCoy is worth $13 million or whatever it is. And if they don't think he's worth that, again, same as Josh Allen, it can't color how they think about that and make a move irrationally, impulsively, just to fix something that just happened right quick. And so with Gerald McCoy, and let's talk about that for a second. You know, he hasn't been around. He's catching a lot of stuff about that. And Rick Stroud reported, the Bucks have told him he doesn't need to be there right now. They're, you know, either trying to figure out or have already figured out the next course of action with him. And either way, Gerald McCoy's not there because he's being lazy or because he's being a crybaby. He's not there because he doesn't need to be right there, and they don't need him to be there right now, and they've told him as much. So he's not posting videos talking about how upset he is to the Bucks. People think, oh, he's mad at the Bucks. He's showing them that he doesn't like the way he's been treated. Wants more respect. No, it's people like you and me, the fans, saying, oh, McCoy, he sucks. He's not there at the mandatory workout. You know, he's not going to be there. The Bucks have told him he doesn't need to be there until this whole thing gets resolved one way or the other or whatever it is. And I can't for the life of me imagine him playing for the Bucks after all that's happened. I know stranger things have happened. I would never make an outright prediction that he's gone, because my outright predictions on things are usually not great. But it's hard for me to see, even with this whole Pierre Paul thing, it's hard for me to see Gerald McCoy playing for the Bucks again. And he will not play for them for anything less than the money he's supposed to be getting. There's no, oh, we're going to work a deal, meet in the middle. That's not going to happen with Gerald McCoy, okay? So if the Bucks think he's worth it, they can do it. And they can pay him the money, and or otherwise they can trade him or cut him or whatever they're going to do. But another one, there's another one where you have to think long-term. You have to think big picture. And one cannot have anything to do with the other. Even though it seems, the timing, of course, with this Jason Pierre-Paul thing just happening, that, oh, maybe now we should cozy on back up to Gerald McCoy. And no, I don't think so. And again, if you think Gerald McCoy should be here because you think he's good, and I think I like Gerald McCoy, number one. Number two, I think he's gotten disrespected for sure. I really do. But whether you think that or not, those are both valid opinions. It just can't be playing off of this recent news about Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, let me say this about what McCoy did. And again, I like him. I understand he's upset. I understand he has a chip on his shoulder. I think he's right to feel that way. I thought the video he posted was a little bit childish. Like, to post a video of yourself working out. Look at me, dog. I'm working out, man. Y'all think I don't work out? Here's a video of me doing that right now. I mean, come on. Like, we get it. You're a professional football player. And then he says Cinco de Mayo. That was my favorite part. Oh, it's Cinco de Mayo. I'm still in here. Like, dude, Cinco de Mayo? Like, you're going to actually, like, make that, like, a thing? Like, oh, I'm working out on Cinco de Mayo. Look how dedicated I am. That's not a holiday, man. It's not like you're working out on Christmas morning or Thanksgiving dinner is going on and you're over there. I mean, you're working out. I worked out on Cinco de Mayo. I remember I did farmer's walks and deadlift, okay? And I'm just a schlub who doesn't play a professional sport. So what? And Cinco de Mayo, by the way, my God, St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo, enough. I can't believe people make a... And there's nothing wrong with having a good time. I encourage, as you hear on this show all the time, have friends around. Especially if you're like entering middle age and you have kids now. Like, I'm in my late 30s and I've got kids, and me and my buddies who used to hang out constantly, it's a lot more work to hang out now. I'm always saying, look for excuses to hang out with your friends, whether it's to watch a game together, even if it's a late season Bucks game that has no playoff implications whatsoever, or even if it's a holiday like Cinco de Mayo, which isn't really a holiday, or St. Patrick's Day. Fine, I'm not railing against their existence, but people need to stop acting like it actually is a thing. Like, oh, what are you doing for Cinco de Mayo? You're not doing something for Cinco de Mayo? You don't have to. Like, it's not weird. It's just May 5th. And that's all it is. Hell, if anything, Derby Day was a holiday the day before. And I won't get into all that and what happened after my Derby preview at the end of last week's show. That certainly, some things happened since then. But that's not what we're here to do today. But my point is, Gerald McCoy's video, I thought, was a little childish, a little bit needy, and a little bit try too hard. Like, if I was him, I would just go about my business. I'd let my agent try to work the best situation for me, whether it's in Tampa Bay or somewhere else. And I think McCoy, and again, I certainly have empathy for him because I do believe he's gotten a raw deal in the court of public opinion. He's been a pretty good player. He's not been Warren Sapp, no, but he's been a pretty good player. And in fact, he's been one of their better players up to and including last season. The numbers bear that out. Even better than Jason Pierre-Paul, by the way, despite the sack number differential. And through all that, he gets, bleeped on, basically, and called lazy and called this and called overrated. And that's wrong. I think that's BS. And I don't blame Gerald McCoy at all for feeling how he feels. But again, it doesn't make you look any better to post a video bragging about it. It just seemed contrived. Like, okay, I'm going to post this video and I'm going to show some tude. I'm going to let people know I'm working out. Come on, man. We get it. You're working out. All 90 guys on the roster should be working out. Whatever it is they do. I know everybody's got different programs and stuff, but I was not impressed with the video. But it does just go to show where his head is right now, which is one more reason why it feels like he's not coming back, and one more reason why it feels like the relationship is not in a great place right now. And so again, whatever it ends up being, that's a decision the Bucks have to make, and that's one that they will make if they haven't already made it, but it ain't going to be because of what happened to Jason Pierre-Paul, or it shouldn't be. And Ziggy Ansah was somebody that everybody, right when this happened, maybe they can get him. He's out there maybe ready to sign with someone. Seahawks sign him, and he still might miss time at the start of the year coming off his injury. So you can forget about that whole thing. But in the meantime, I'll just say this, all right? Does it help that Jason Pierre-Paul is hurt and may not play? Of course not. Would I rather have him than not? Of course I would. But if this team was or is going to be any good, and I cannot stress this enough, folks, if this team was or is going to be any good, and you might not think they are, I'm, pretty skeptical myself, but whether or not they end up being that, it won't be because of Jason Pierre-Paul's prep. Like, he's one guy on the defensive line. He's important, all right? But if they end up not doing too well this year, it won't be because they lost JPP, and they could still very easily do well in spite of losing JPP if that's what ends up happening. All right, so don't think the season outlook just took a 180 the same way JPP's car did a 180 before it hit the guardrail, because that's not what happened. This is unfortunate. Again, I hope he's okay. I hope he can play, but even if he can't play, I hope he's okay. And he seems okay. If you heard the audio of the 911 call, he was the one that called it in. He sounded very composed, he sounded sober, and he sounded okay, and he will be. But it's not going to change as much about the 2019 season as I think you guys think it will. And, when you add all these things together, it's just one guy is one guy, but do the JPP thing, Gerald McCoy maybe being let go or leaving or whatever it is, didn't draft much up front compared to what they did in the secondary. You add all these things together, and it adds up to, problem part of the field for the Bucks. I mean, Carl Nassib's still going to factor. They do have Vita Vea. Noah Spence, I've said on this show before, and I hope I'm wrong, if Noah Spence was going to do anything, he would have already done it. But going to the 3-4, which is a system that favors him, may make a big difference, and maybe he comes out gangbusters this year, and he's the guy we all thought we were drafting a couple years ago. Maybe that happens. But they do have other people. Golston will probably see more time, and who knows what the hell else they'll end up doing. I don't know about any of that stuff yet. But as we talked about a few shows ago, it was way back, but Thomas Bastner did a good piece on it. Jason Pierre-Paul, if you look at his pressure numbers, they weren't that great. His sack numbers were great. 12.5, that's awesome. But he also converted his pressures into sacks at a rate much, much higher than both his career rate and a rate much, much higher than average. And he is not expected to match those numbers. Even with the same pressure numbers, which don't vary as much, but if he puts up those same pressure rate numbers that he did last year, they will net a lower amount of sacks than the 12.5 just because of regression to the mean that's expected. You know, he's not going to sack people as often, even if he's getting the pressure, as he did in 2018. So what does that mean? That means, one, we're probably not losing as much as we think we do, or think we are. And two, we probably weren't going to be as good as we thought we were going to be with him in there when we thought he was going to be in there. At least those that just see the 12.5 sacks from last year and think, oh yeah, hey, maybe 13 or 14 this year, right? No, it was probably going to be more like 7 or 8. And we'll never know. I mean, I'm not trying to say we know. But based on historical numbers, and you can look at historical numbers to get an idea of what you're trying to project, it wasn't going to be that much. So again, it's not as make or break as we think. Right now, we just need to wait anyway because it may not be as bad as we thought. But for the meantime, just preparing ourselves for the idea that, yeah, he's not going to play in 2019. If that's true, it doesn't mean the Bucs season is completely submarine or anything like that. And we'll see what happens with all the contract business and if they can get the $7.5 million back. If they were to get the $7.5 million back under the cap, and right now they have, here's the situation. Right now they have $1.8 million in cap space. That is including the full amount of JPP and the full amount of McCoy. So they don't have enough money as of this very moment to sign their draft pick. I mean, Devin White, never mind just him, but all the other ones, but especially at the higher end of the scale where he is, you know, they don't have enough. 1.8 is not enough. So they knew even before all this, they were going to have to do something in the coming weeks to be able to sign their draft picks, just to get the draft picks done. Now, if they end up clearing $7.5 million off of that, you know, if something happens with JPP, and I'm skeptical, it seems too good to be true that we could just poof, make $7.5 million go away from the cap, but maybe the contract language allows that. But that would give them the ability, it would even give them the ability to have McCoy and JPP on there. Not that I think McCoy's coming back anyway, but if they wanted to, it would probably give them the ability to do that and still sign all the draft picks and everything else. So they got to decide, one, what's going on with Jason Pierre-Paul. We'll keep watching that very closely. And then two, based off that, financially, what they have room for and not have room for and do all the other things they got to do. But in the meantime, even though it sucks and even though we're all just dying to have some good news and there hasn't been a lot of it lately, realize it's only May. We do have a rookie minicamp starting tomorrow. I'm recording this on Thursday afternoon. We have a rookie minicamp starting tomorrow, and then OTAs start next week with all the players, not just the rookies. The next couple days are just the rookies, and that'll be everybody, I guess, except Gerald McCoy. But, you know, it'll be nice to just have even just the drudgery of you know, when there's practice in minicamp, your Twitter feed just has so many random clips of just a guy catching a pass in some practice drill, and you're like, my God, like, can we get some real football? All these prep. But at least I think right now we're welcoming that, aren't we? I think right now it'll be nice just to have football things going on, none of this off-field crap. We had Kendall Beckwith's car accident last year. Now we have JPP this year. It's just bad luck, it seems like. But, you know, I think just, again, the vagaries and the boredoms of your typical offseason OTA or typical offseason minicamp will be welcome right now. Certainly, I would have told you that a week ago, too, when we were actually having arguments. And by we, I just mean, again, Bucks Twitter. And maybe you're not on Twitter. If you're not, you might be better off for it. But, you know, there's talk, oh, Bruce Arians, he's taking the ping pong table out of the locker room. Yeah, baby! Nothing fires up, like, blue-collar fans more than hearing that a minor diversion that may just make life a little bit better during your workday is being taken away from employees. I know some of you guys love to hear. I don't know why, but I know some of you guys love to hear, hell yes, they had a ping pong table, now it's gone. Woo, here come the wins. You know, people think that's the greatest thing. I don't understand. To me, and I'm not trying to get too analytical with this, but there seems to be kind of an, I don't want to say, like, it's on the forefront, but kind of a low-key, like, disdain for the idea that pro athletes would have any little frill, since they make so much money already and they play sports and they're usually big and strong and get to go to bed with tons of babes. And I guess that's just enough on its own, where people really love when they hear something, oh yeah, Bruce Arians isn't messing around. The gravy train's done rolling, baby. That ping pong table's coming out of the locker room. Like, why does that get you so excited? Like, who cares? And if you think the ping pong table is the reason, oh, these guys spend so much time on ping pong, they're not focused in team meet. Like, you don't go on a lunch hour at your work. I mean, I don't know what you do, you know, all the different things. Maybe you just eat, but like, if you have a ping pong table and you blow off some steam for a few minutes playing a little pong, it ain't hurting anything. It's not making you less prepared to play football. And the Patriots and the Eagles, all of them have one. Everybody's like, that's right. We're cracking down. We're not doing that stuff because losers do that stuff. And we're going to be football 24-7. You know. Hey, the Patriots have a ping pong table. They have like leagues and standings posted on their locker room. Everybody does that stuff. It's like everything else. Winning begets good attitudes and losing begets bad attitudes, and not a damn thing else matters. If you win, nobody cares about the ping pong table. If you lose, people care about these inane things that make no difference whatsoever. Because if you're doing something and you're losing, it must be wrong, so you have to change it, right? I mean, if you lose, you were doing it wrong. Period. No matter everything, literally everything that you did that whole day. When you woke up, you should have eaten Nutri-Grain bar strawberry flavored instead of the mixed berry flavored. Hey, you're going to argue with me? You were 5-11. Who are you to argue with me? If you were 11-5 and you eat whatever Nutri-Grain bar you want, you know, that's the attitude people have. And so we start dissecting all these things. And by the way, the ping pong table and the pool table are now in the player's lounge. They're still there. They're just not in the locker room. And if that's what Bruce Arians wants to do, that's fine. I'm not saying I have a problem with it. I just got a kick out of the reaction of everybody who actually think that's the difference maker, that this is proof that Bruce Arians is the guy, that we just moved our ping pong table out of the locker room, and that's just what we needed. And it just goes back and forth. You know, you lose with a player's coach, everybody wants a hard ass. You lose with a hard ass, everyone wants a player's coach. You win with either, and nobody gives a damn how they coach, period. So email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, the email address, it's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. And the same thing on Twitter. You can find me at Bobby Game Day. And another thing with Jameis Winston, and this one I'm going to actually diverge from Joe a little bit here, because I know Joe posted a story about it and expressed his opinion. He caught some flack from a lot of you all, but there was some charity golf tournament or whatever. And just the still picture of it was just so dumb looking that it made me laugh. But there was some charity golf tournament. They had some trick shot golfer. So he can hit drives like a baseball swing, like a horizontal plane, you know? So Jameis Winston volunteered or whatever, or they picked him out of the crowd, maybe because he's the Bucs quarterback. And he puts on one of those big safety helmets, and they stick a golf tee in the hole on top of the helmet, and Jameis just sits still, like cross-legged, on the ground, and this golfer just takes a giant Mark McGuire-esque just baseball swing rip at the golf ball and then plucks it right off the tee above his head. And so Joe posted a story saying, here's another poor decision by Jameis Winston. This is dangerous. Don't need to be doing this type of stuff. It's just another example of Jameis just, you know, given all his background and given what he's been through, something he doesn't need to be doing, and on and on and on. And again, I got a kick out of that too. First of all, the picture made me laugh. And second of all, I mean, whoever this trick shot guy was, I'm sure he's got thousands upon thousands of repetitions and muscle memory. I wouldn't be worried about getting hit in the head with the golf ball. And yet, okay, you want to say, oh, Jameis Winston's a quarterback. He maybe shouldn't be doing something like that. You know, I remember Tom Brady a few years ago in the offseason going on a vacation in Costa Rica with his family and jumping like off of this rock cliff. It wasn't even like a diving board with like a nice pool underneath. It was like this craggly rock cliff, and you had to jump out a few feet to make sure you cleared the cliff without hitting it on the way down into this unknown pool of water that I guess they knew was deep. And he posted that on Facebook. And, you know, I remember there was a little bit of blowback for that. Like, Patriots fans were like, whoa, man, you know, what if Brady hurt himself, or, you know, he couldn't play, or you know, seriously injured himself? I don't remember a huge, you know, with Jameis Winston, he makes bad decisions. And this goes back to what I just said about the ping pong table, too. When you have credentials, when you win, nobody cares. You can do whatever you want, because you could say, hey, this is what I do and it works. This is how I live my life and I'm a winner. And no one argues with winners. And if you haven't done it yet, or if you've had any type of failures or issues, then everything you do is going to be under the microscope. And maybe Jameis should have known that, I guess. But I was actually kind of impressed, because if you watch the video of it, and you can go on Twitter and probably just search Jameis golf ball or something like that and find it. I mean, this guy takes a huge cut, and Jameis does not even move. I mean, he doesn't flinch. I thought that was kind of impressive. I'd probably tense up or something. He just sits there cross-legged, like he's in the pocket, staring down a rush while he's trying to hit Mike Evans on a seam. Beautiful. You know? I thought it was a good sign. But anyway, it certainly wasn't anything that Ray... Actually, I think Joe got ratioed on that one on Twitter, which is when you get more responses by a huge number than you do likes or retweets. That's called getting ratioed, for those of you that aren't into the whole Twitter lingo and know how all this stuff works. And like I said, one of the things I love about the Joes is they give you everything, okay? On this website, joebucksfan.com, literally in the course of just any single day, and it could be during the season, it could be during the middle of the offseason. Like now we're really in the offseason. There's not the draft. There's nothing. There's OTAs and stuff, but there's nothing going on. And you'll still get 3, 4, 5 new articles on Joe Bucks Fan. It is the most comprehensive place. Combined with the beat writers who cover the Bucks, I mean, you get everything you need right there. And not just the beat writers, but the newspaper writers in general. And me, I'd like to think. But you get a lot more than just football on my Twitter feed. But my point is, I don't always have to agree with Joe. Most of the time I do. But on this one, yeah, I didn't think it was a big deal that Jameis Winston had a golf ball driven off of his head with a swing speed of about 130 miles an hour. I figured the guy knows what he's doing. And on the list of off-season grievances, and again, this was before the JPP stuff really got going, it is not all that great, in my opinion. But speaking of my reaction, or just general listener or viewer reaction to stuff that Joe posts, I wanted to mention this on the show today, too, before I wrap things up. I've been seeing some complaints, and even some people have been complimenting me while also backhandedly complaining that, oh, it's too negative. I don't like all the negativity. Bobby's show was good this week because it was really positive. And I appreciate those words, by the way. I saw a few of those things. But, folks, this is not like negativity versus positivity. There's only what happens, okay? And I read every article Joe posts. Joe's never, and I don't think the media in general, not just Joe, people complain about this stuff all the time. Joe's never put a spin on anything, positive or negative. Sometimes there's negative things that happen, and sometimes there's positive things, and sometimes you say, oh man, this seems like a bad development, and sometimes this seems like a good development. But nobody is being negative. And these fans, some of you guys want your stuff like scrubbed and washed and put through filters before you get it. Don't you just want to know what's going on? You can decide if it's positive or negative. But don't get mad at Joe for taking a negative spin. Or anytime he writes anything about a team that hasn't even sniffed a playoff berth in a decade. I mean, I think we ought to get medals, all of us, for not being even more negative than we are. And people are complaining that it's too negative sometimes. I mean, I'm optimistic by nature. And even right now, looking ahead at the 2019 season, even though there is not much reason on paper to be all that excited. I mean, let's be honest. We have either mostly the same players, or some of the players aren't here anymore. But you know, we don't have anybody new or better that's supposed to come in. I mean, draft picks are draft picks. We don't know. But all the areas that we were deficient in, we either have the same people returning to those areas, or we have new people who are unproven that we hope will improve those areas. We're a big, giant question mark at best, and a potential cellar dweller at worst. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. All I'm saying is, I don't think you can fault people for merely pointing these things out and calling them negative. And yet I hear a lot of those complaints, and I don't think it's right. And I wanted to say that on the show today, and I'm not just saying that to defend. Again, it's not just Joe. It's the media in general. They report. It's not even just football. Mark Topkin is the Rays beat writer for the Times. And he posts just what the attendance was at a Rays game. He might make a little remark about it, too. And people go, oh, what are you beating a dead horse for? Why are you talking about that? Hey, he's the damn beat writer. He's going to post the damn attendance. And people will try and make, oh, this is why I don't read the paper and like the media, because they're always spinning things. That doesn't make you sound very enlightened to say that type of stuff, okay? It's like y'all don't want to be told things that are going on if they're not good or else the people telling you them are negative people. Ridiculous. Now, if somebody gets smart-ass about it, or they kind of look at it, I know Topkin can straddle that line sometimes. I'm just using him as an example. This show's not about the Rays, but, you know, that's one thing. But some of y'all get so offended that people say things that are based in fact. And if you want to get upset, be upset about the facts themselves and the reason why they're facts. Maybe that's what you should be upset about. Not the people just saying, oh, yeah, hey, this kind of is what's happening. Like, if that's what's happening, that's what's happening. So, you know, and Joe Bucks Fan is a fan website. It's got the word fan right there in the name. But that doesn't mean it's not a reporting website. Joe reports things. In fact, Joe does a better job than the media reporting things a lot of times. All right? So it's not just rah-rah, how can we make Bucks fans feel better today? Certainly, we want to engender excitement and get everybody fired up. Absolutely. I'm not trying to lecture you. I think I'm sounding a little bit like I'm lecturing you guys. Let me walk it back. I'm just trying to say, you know, it's a fan website, but it's also a news website about the team. And if you really want to know what's going on with the team, then there is, you know, they'll be good and bad. It's mostly been bad for long since before I started doing this podcast. You want some good, happy news? Here's some. Rondi Barber, September 22nd, the Giants game. He's going into the Ring of Honor at Raymond James Stadium. You know, you look back at that era of Bucks football with the Super Bowl, and not just that, but, you know, the late 90s, Tony Dungy threw the Super Bowl with Gruden and all that. And you think of the, you know, those levels of the defense, Sapp up front. You had Sim, Brooks, Lynch, Barber. You could argue all day. I mean, some of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Some of those guys might be in the Hall of Fame, and some of them may never be in the Hall of Fame. Of all those guys, all right, and I love them all. I'm not saying Rondi Barber was the best player out of that group, but he was my favorite. Rondi Barber was my favorite. And not just, I mean, you can just basically give me one play. Of course, the Eagles NFC Championship game, the interception return 2002. And that alone is probably my favorite 20 seconds of all time, that play. That single play is probably my favorite 20 seconds of all time, aside from like my kids being born or whatever, which took more than 20 seconds. But all the plays over the years, the ball hawking, and just the general, I don't know, it's hard to explain because I've got great memories of Lynch, I've got great memories of Sapp, certainly Derek Brooks. Brooks is right up there. Probably Brooks and Barber, my two favorites. But, I mean, to see him in the Ring of Honor, to me, it was a no-brainer that he was going to be the next one, and I'm really happy to see that's going to happen. I look forward to that day. I will say this, though. You know, and again, we're trying to kind of get that whole era of the Bucks, which is basically the single era of success in Bucks history, covered on the Ring of Honor. Now that that's done with Barber, James Wilder, to me, should be the next one. I mean, James Wilder's the all-time leading rusher. The Bucks were absolute garbage back then in the 80s, and, you know, nobody really had a lot to remember that was good as far as wins and losses go. But James Wilder was a man, dude. And he was, again, I remember, like, people getting mad at the Bucks and Ray Perkins or whoever. Oh, it's just run to Wilder, incomplete pass, punt. And that was it a lot of times. But that's not because James Wilder did anything wrong. I mean, he's one of the best players in Buccaneers history. And as a Bucks fan who grew up watching the franchise, who's actually been, and there's nothing wrong if you've been a Bucks fan for a shorter amount of time, but I go back with this franchise through the worst years until they finally started winning. So I have a ton of memories of the 80s and 90s, and I don't have any memories of playoff games or anything like that, or Monday Night Football or being in primetime. Just a lot of Sunday at 1 p.m. afternoons over there at Himes Avenue and being there in sometimes crowds of 75,000 when the Bears were in town or something like that, and sometimes less. But all those games, I remember James Wilder as among the most vivid memories of my early, early childhood Bucks memories because he was always so prominent and so good. And so he needs to be the next one after they get, again, I'm not saying he should be before Barber. Had to get Barber done. We'll do that this year. I'm going to go ahead and vote for James Wilder for the next one for whatever that amounts to. I want to thank all of you guys for going. This was kind of a potpourri show today, a lot of rantings about different things. I want to thank all you guys for listening. As always, I want to thank the Joes for allowing me this platform and the chance to get in front of all of you guys who come to this website every day or weekly or however often it is you come, and the chance to do a show for all of you guys is an honor and a privilege, as always. during the season and even like now in the middle of the offseason. So rookie minicamp is going to be happening this weekend. We'll have OTAs next week. We'll talk about all that on next week's show. The news is going to keep coming in. What J. Pierre-Paul, if it's a neck fracture, if it's the whole season, if it's part of the season, if his contract allows something to be done or not, whatever it is, you're going to find out first at joebucksfan.com, and you're going to get in-depth reporting at joebucksfan.com. Same thing with Gerald McCoy, whatever decision ends up getting made there. All these things are still on the horizon here in the offseason. And so is, as well, a couple of shows that I'm working on. They're going to have some guests on there that I'll talk more about once we get it set up. But I think we can have some fun doing that here as the offseason rolls on. In the meantime, oh, and thank you to Bill Curry Ford as well, your official sponsor of the Free Stretch. Again, if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle from the finest place in town, you can get one. And the most trustworthy place in town, you can get one. BillCurryFord.com is your first stop. And then you can go to the place itself on Dale Mabry, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So, folks, have a great weekend. As always, be safe. Have fun. Keep a positive attitude. Whatever's going to end up happening, it will happen. But the Bucks 2019 season is not torpedoed just yet. All right? We're a long way to go. And in the meantime, I'll talk to you guys next week and wherever you are. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.